Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for a fun conversation between Pam and I. We're talking about the stuff we've seen at Walt Disney World at the theme park since the reopening that we really like, from these mini parade cavalcades with the characters to how plexiglass is keeping us safe, lack of fast pass and how that might be a good thing, and much more. We also have a very philosophical conversation about traveling right now towards the end of the show. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. It's a little bit long, so I apologize. But we really did enjoy getting together and talking Disney. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time for your next trip, book that with the great travel professionals over at the Magic for Less. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're getting all your Prime benefits. Just click through the link first, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Finally, if you want a little extra podcast, content in your week, become a patron, patreon.com/brguestpodcast. We've got lots of behind the scenes photos, polls, discussions, and even a mini podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. Check it out today over at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1729 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope you're having a great wrap-up to that work week. Hope it was a productive one. You know, for the most part, we're kind of, not all the way there, obviously, but we are getting back to where, you know, I feel for a few months there, it was really hard to, even on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, to feel like I had a super productive week. But I think that is starting to turn around here in most parts of the United States. We're kind of getting back into this new normal where we can, you know, I know that, you know, we were talking even before the show started, it's hard to still determine, you know, a Thursday from a Tuesday from a Sunday sometimes. But at least I'm starting to feel like the world is attempting to get back. We're not all the way back, but at least we're chugging along slowly and steadily. Sometimes we have to take a step back, you know, before we can take a step forward. Sometimes it's two steps back, one step forward, but we're learning each day and we're getting there. So I hope you had a great, productive week. Let's have some fun Disney talk, because that is what life is all about. You got to take a break sometimes to get through all this madness, and that's what we're going to do today. So joining me today, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday. I agree. It does feel like things are like getting a bit more normal. Like, people are moving about the country again and sort of, seeing people that they haven't seen for a while. That's been my thing lately. You kind of miss that. Like, I feel a little bit like, I mean, of course, we've definitely secluded up, but I mean, I miss like hanging out with people and just doing, you know, normal stuff. So at least we can do that a little more. And I appreciate that. Plus, all the photos we've been seeing the past month or so coming from the different parks and all the things that they're doing. It's kind of awesome, I will say.
That's the thing. It's kind of what we're going to talk about today is the main topic of the show. But I wanted to kind of hit you with that at the top of the show. We're recording this one a little bit early just to kind of get ahead. We got some things coming up, for the week that the show would come out. So we want to make sure that we don't miss an episode. But you mentioned the photos we're seeing. Living in the age of social media, and we've now made it through the period where we had cast member previews, then we had annual pass holder previews at the four parks, and then we had the general opening of all four. You know, we're living in a world where the parks are open. Of course, now they are, you know, limited hours, limited, you know, modified experiences, you know, all this stuff. But what do you, like, when I see the pictures on social media, I feel two things. First of all, I feel happiness, because this is why I got into all this. I mean, this is why I started the podcast, is because I love to talk about it. I love being at Walt Disney World and the, you know, Disney cruises and stuff the most. But if I can't be there, and let's face it, even in a good year, 98% of the time we're not there. I like seeing people having fun. I like seeing people having a snack in Frontierland, or I like seeing somebody experience a food and wine festival at Epcot. I like seeing these things. So I'm happy that I get to see that stuff in my feed again. But with the stuff I'm seeing, I'm slightly green like Kermit the Frog with a little bit of jealousy because it looks pretty nice down there. So what are you feeling?
Yeah, I know that I think a lot of people had questions about what it would look like and maybe, you know, were sort of anxious about that. The thing I heard over and over again, even prior to the opening, was that it's going to be a lesser experience. And I was like, dang, I think you're maybe missing like the big opportunity here, because I don't think it's going to be a lesser experience. First of all, I think you're going to be able to roll into the parks and get so much more done than you do on any typical day. I mean, we all know that the crowds have been increasing steadily over the past, let's say, 5 years at Walt Disney World, right? There was no not busy time anymore. And so I'm like, well, if you were looking for not busy, it kind of has come to you on this little silver platter, right? This is as not busy as it's going to be for quite a long time. So anyways, all that leading up to it, I was, you know, the people who were saying it's going to be a lesser experience, blah, blah, blah. I was thinking, I think you may be missing the point. And I loved seeing that when it opened, it really wasn't a lesser experience. I mean, I really heard that sentiment very few times from anyone who has actually gone to the parks. They're showing, I mean, you know, the wait times on Pandora, like it basically takes you to walk through the line and then you get on the attraction, right? And that we have not seen that, period, since it opened, since day one. It's been, you know, really, really packed just with people who wanting to experience this. And I think I love some of the pictures coming out of there. Aren't they incredible? Oh, like, yeah. People who have the whole castle, like, to themselves. They're in front of the castle by themselves. I love that. I think it's just so cool. So I just was really pleasantly surprised by all of the feedback we were seeing, except for that one picture that, of course, got shared 8 million times.
Yeah, well, we're past that at this point, I think. Especially, I know, for our listeners, because, I mean,
it was debunked.
Yeah, plus, I mean, the thing is, you know, there's going to be nothing that's 100% perfect. You know, we are learning as a society, you know, like, when we go to the grocery store, there are bottlenecks at the grocery. I mean, you know, just what if everybody happens to be looking for some Captain Crunch? I mean, it could happen, you know, and you end up in the cereal aisle. You know, it's such a weird thing because, you know, I'm in my mid-40s, so I've been going to the grocery store forever. You know, I don't go a whole lot, but I mean, back in the day when I did, and I have run in there to get some sweet tea the other day, some sugar-free sweet tea, which is, it's okay. It's summer, though. And the thing is, like, the whole thing, you know, just how I've gone to the grocery store my entire adult life is no good. You know, like, now there's arrows. Like, you got to pay attention. Like, I mean, I know the shortest way to get back to the sweet tea, because it's on the opposite end of the whole store, because it's in the back corner from where you go in. But, I mean, the whole thing is, you got to be careful. You got to be aware of your surroundings. I think that's what's happening at Walt Disney World. And that's kind of the first point I wanted to bring up. And we talked about this on the Sunday Night Call-In Show the weekend that the parks opened, was that this truly, truly is a partnership between Disney and their guests. I mean, it totally is, because Disney can do a lot. You know, they're cleaning, they're giving reminders all the time with, you know, visual cues, with signs. They're doing auditory reminders every once in a while, which is kind of shocking, but I think it's good in this situation. I mean, there's no way you can be unaware of the expectations for the guests and the expectations that Disney is placing on themselves. So in this first couple of weeks, what I'm super encouraged about, and again, we're still with the Uber Disney fans that are going to be there. We have people in the chat right now that are going to be there, you know, soon or right now as the show comes out, is that with this partnership, and it has to be a partnership, because if the guests fall apart, the whole thing falls apart. But for the most part, it seems like everybody's doing their part. Disney's working hard on their end, and the guests are living up for the most part. I mean, I really haven't seen anybody, to be honest. I haven't seen guests that are being, you know, stupid to where they're causing chaos for everybody else. Everybody is doing their part.
It is, and I think that's where we've sort of come as a society, too, is that we all sort of have to do our part. One of the biggest things we have to do And this isn't just at Disney World, but everywhere is, if we're feeling ill and if we have symptoms, we have to stay at home. And I think for a long time, it's sort of been a badge of honor to kind of roll into work, not being your best, right? Because you're somehow proving your dedication, and or you don't want to waste your PTO time yeah. because you're sick, right? But I think that we sort of have to shift that. It's not something we want to see anyone do. We can absolutely curb so many people's exposure to this if people who are just feeling ill in any way stay at home. And I think that's step one. Then, of course, we have the implementation of the mask, and Disney made some clarifications to that policy early on, as soon as it opened. And I think for the better, they made it more clear that it has to be a double layer mask. And they also made it clear that it couldn't be a gaiter, because I think to make that policy consistent, across that space. So they did that too. But this is all things that we've kind of done in a partnership that, like, hey, we're coming here and we're going to say that we're not feeling ill. We don't have any symptoms, and we're going to follow your rules with the masks. And because of that, because we are willing to do that, we're going to have an awesome Disney experience. And I'm so glad to be able to see that happening.
Yeah, I want to see consistency, especially in enforcement when you're going through the lines. Like, if I were to never see anybody turned around, and I haven't really, I haven't been paying attention because obviously we don't have like a live camera on the security or health person that's shooting you in the forehead with the temperature sensor. But, if nobody is ever being questioned about their mask or about, having a temperature, it's an exercise in just so that people can see it being done, but it's not enforceable. Like, that makes me very uncomfortable going into a theme park. However, when I see enforcement, even though when I even say the word enforcement, it sounds like a negative thing. I think we have a negative connotation to that word. But in this instance, where your mental comfort is such an important part of a Disney vacation now more than ever. I mean, I never thought about mental comfort when I went to Walt Disney World. I mean, it was uncomfortable. It was hot sometimes. There were huge crowds. I mean, if you think about it, there were a lot of times I was mentally uncomfortable on a Disney vacation, but you just didn't think about it because you just did it. But like right now, with your health and wellness, enforcement is a positive, don't you think? I mean, you want to see a cast member, even if it's you, because you're being a dingleberry and you just didn't think about it. You had your mask down for a few minutes. They're going to politely remind you, but I think in the overall picture, you want to see enforcement that's going to make you feel better about being safe.
No, I totally agree. And I think that is something we're sort of doing some behavior modification, as it would be, right? These are things that may not be familiar to everyone. And, if your stance really was that you sort of just stayed at home for the past few months and didn't really go out that many places, the mask experience is something that may be a completely new experience. But to have the reminders to sort of shape that behavior into what they want to see. And from all accounts, I've heard that they've empowered cast members to make sure that guests are wearing the mask and following the guidelines and doing all of those things so that we can all sort of be guided into the behavior that we all want to see to make sure that those parks stay open and we can have that experience without exposing ourselves unnecessarily.
Absolutely. And also shout out to Daniel Smith in the Life Chase. Has been listening to the podcast since lockdown in the UK on the 23rd of March, but never heard it live due to time restrictions. He says, hope you're staying safe, and he's over in the UK. So, hey, Dan, thanks for listening live, because we're recording in the afternoon here in the States for once. So
I know, right?
That is awesome to see. So let's kind of shift gears here and talk about what we've seen upon the reopening of the parks that we like. Things that, I don't hate to say this, but I think there are some things that Disney is doing better in this pandemic time than in the previous, decades.
Yeah, these are like pluses. They're plussing things up.
Some things like, what is it? Some things the mother of invention, like need or necessity or
necessary.
Something like that.
Yeah. So necessity is the mother of invention, for sure.
So you were mentioning how you see characters and how that's going to change forevermore for you. So talk about that.
For sure. So even when Hannah was little, like, I will just tell you, Steve was not a wait in line to see the characters kind of guy. He did not want to do that. We would do every character meal so that Hannah could get her fills of characters, but wait in line at the parks was not something that was going to happen on the rare occasion if they, you know, whatever. But I mean, it wasn't anything he made a big deal about. We just didn't do it. There were so many things there to do that you don't have to wait to see characters and to have a great experience. But I can't tell you how much I love, first of all, the character cavalcades. The vehicles that they're using are all so creative. Like, did they start like the minute the lockdown happened? They're like, okay, let's get some cars out. We're putting some stuff on them.
Oh, too. And you know, let's go buy some Clydesdales and stuff. I mean, it's like, that's a Clydesdale.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. And being able to see all these characters in really interesting settings. First of all, you saw Pooh, who had like a little butterfly net or bee net. He was out there trying to catch stuff. Right? It's adorable. You saw Joy from Inside Out frolicking around. I love seeing Meredith on the horse. I just think there's really cool opportunities to see the characters. And if you want your picture, of course, you can stand there and get a selfie with them in the background. No need to wait in line for anything. You don't have people queuing up. We kept saying leaning up to the opening that there's going to be lots of opportunities for them. And this was a huge opportunity for Disney to show us that if you like characters, you can still get your fill of characters. And they did it. This one, I think, is a slam dunk. I love it, love it, love it. I hope it stays.
I agree. I mean, and the whole thing was, you know, we had speculated on this stuff for months because that's all we had to do. You know, we had no parks to experience. Right. You know, all we had to do was talk about, oh my gosh, they're gonna do this, or they might do this, or they could do this, you know, and all that stuff. And we heard about these, you know, because we saw these initially in Asia. You know, these kind of quick moving, small like cavalcades of characters, because it would be no personal meet and greet type situations. But the thing is, like, I still had a hard time in my mind thinking that it wouldn't be, you know, Main Street USA during Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, you know, with the Gravediggers, like, you know, seven people deep on each side. And I didn't honestly think that having characters, because I mean, they're going on the parade route. That's exactly what they're going on. They're going from Frontierland to Town Square and back. And it seemed, now again, the crowds are super low still. And I, you know, of course, they're going to cap the crowd. So I think that kind of solves that issue. But there hasn't been that, you know, I thought that, you know, it's just me, but I just think people are drawn to certain things. And I thought that there would be kind of, you know, just people cramming up to see these characters. But I guess the cavalcade route is so long and it's moving so quickly that doesn't, and there's only one thing to focus on. Maybe all those mechanics keep people from gathering. Like, it just, you can walk, you can wave at Merida, you can wave at, you know, Tinkerbell going by on a ship. I mean, maybe this is the solution. It's strange, but maybe it works.
And I agree. Disney's always done, I think, a fairly good job sort of reassessing when something is so popular that it's creating a queue that is less than ideal, I will say. Not a crowd pleaser, right? They've actually closed popular attractions and meet and greets just because they weren't really able to get it under control. It just became a point of dissatisfaction for more people than satisfaction, I think. So I see this as something that is really awesome. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the parades are awesome. And I know that there will be some room for that. But I also wonder if these really represent an opportunity that we can see sticking around for a long time.
I agree. So a couple other things that I've seen that I like, I wanted to mention, because I wish somebody would have given me a heads up back in February and said, Rollman, you need to buy some stock in plexiglass companies in Central Florida. Because I'm telling you, man, if you stood still in the month of April and you were in a theme park, at a Disney theme park in Florida, you were plexiglass. I mean, you got all of a sudden. And the thing is, I have a personal relationship with plexiglass because I'm a former hockey player who
That sounded a little weird.
Well, I'm just saying because like in hockey, I was very tall and I was a power forward. You know, I played on the wing and I could carve up somebody with my hockey stick like a turkey dinner, you know, like Thanksgiving. So I spent, you know, and the ref didn't like me. I spent myself surrounded by some plexiglass, and it was never as nice looking or clean looking as Disney's. It was always scratched up and stuff and, you know, crud all over it. But no, seriously, the thing is, I mean, it makes sense. And here's what I think, and I haven't been there yet, but I'll be honest, I'm contemplating a quick little, you know, down and back, just to get the personal experience for the show of what it is like to be there. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm thinking about it. I mean, I have frequent flyer miles that are going to expire. I have an annual pass right now, and I'm seeing all this stuff on social media. I'm getting very, very, I'm catching the Scott Gardner stuff, man. Exact, because that dude always wants to go, and I'm kind of falling in that case. But what I'm hearing about the plexiglass from not being there yet is that, you know, for somebody that goes often, it's kind of like you walk in like, whoa, that's weird, you know, because it's different. It's not weird, but it's, whoa, that's different. But from what I'm hearing from multiple guests that I've talked to that have been there already is that it's one of those things. It initially is kind of like an eye opener, but by the second day in the park, it's gone. Like in the physical barrier again gives you comfort, because when you're in switchbacks or you're in any kind of a situation where there could be, like, you know, you're strangers in the night crossing is what I call them at a theme park. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a physical barrier between you. Hey, and if you have a mask on and a physical barrier of plexiglass, that makes me so much more comfortable. And it's not visually impacting in a great way the overall environment of where you're, you know, whether you're in Space Mountain or Flight of Passage, what have you, because the cues are important.
I agree. And if nothing else, it stops that kid who was always hanging
for real
all over the railing into your space.
No, he'll just be 7 feet. He'll just be 7 feet up in the air now. He'll be like, dude, get down. You're going to fall on my head.
It was just like, how can this kid somehow touch me every time I pass him? Like, kid, seriously. Like, and his parents, they've lost the will to live at that point. Yeah. They don't care what he's doing, yeah, as long as he's not, yeah, talking, like, to them.
You can have him. They're like, seriously, I've been with this kid for 6 days, 24 hours. You can have the kid.
So anyways, it stops this from happening. It really, truly does. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that the plexiglass is something that, you know, that will, it will really sort of disappear for us. I don't even notice it when I'm at a cashier anymore.
No, yeah.
Just like, you know, you just sort of like pass it through, or tap your watch, or hold your phone near the card payer and move on with your life. But I agree. I think it does. You know, it really solves the issue of that switchback. And Disney, like, you know, when you're at Disney World and all the cones are like Bob's barriers and all that stuff, like,
totally.
Who's the plexiglass people? Because those people swooped in and they got it done.
Nobody's cruising right now currently in the world except for the guy who owns the plexiglass company, because he's on a yacht. He's on his own yacht somewhere in the Caribbean.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't need to cruise on a cruise ship anymore.
Just saying. Oh my gosh. So another thing we've been talking about, you know, because we talk about this stuff every day, is so one of the big stressors was obviously the ADR situation and the fast pass situation. That was startling for people that have been doing this for a decade, you know, or more. And what I'm seeing, of course, again, everything is limited crowds so far, and it's going to not be all the way back to full capacity in the park. So I think, again, this solves it, is that For a person like me, now I'm a kind of a laid back guy, and I know there's a lot of our listeners that love to make those fast passes and know exactly at 9:22 they're going to be here, and at 10:15 they're going to be there. But for me, like, to go to a park and to make it old school, where you just get in line for stuff, where the lines are not right now, the lines are not going to be 200 minutes because of the amount of people there, and people have to be spread out. Now, of course, right now, you know, when studios came back online, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway had kind of a long line. But even in the Fast Pass day, the standby was as long as I was seeing. I mean, it's just that people want it. That's the new hotness. There was a lot of people who didn't get to do Mickey and Minnie's before this all happened in March. And I think everybody's trying to catch up. Like, that's my one thing I still haven't done. That's this boat I'm in right now. I've done Galaxy's Edge. I've ridden the Skyliner. I've done all the new stuff except for Mickey and Minnie's, because I didn't get an opportunity. So outside of that, though, I think what's happening is without FastPass, the crowds are dispersing and all the lines are shorter. You know, it looks nice to me.
Those wait times, like, I had taken a picture and posted them on my Instagram the other day. But those wait times that I've been seeing, just like, these are like crazy, crazy wait times. Like, people have been like, oh, I don't know if I want to go because they're not having extra magic hours. It's like, day is extra magic hours.
You know,
it starts when the park opens and ends when the park closes.
You know what it reminded me of when you posted that? Because my wife's like, is Pam down there? I didn't think she was there. I thought you were just talking. I don't think she's there. I think she just posted that from my Disney experience. But the point was, you know, it was to get that information out there. And do you remember, you probably do, a lot of our listeners may or may not, before they had extra magic hours, in the Magic Kingdom only, they had e-ride, e-ticket nights or e-ride nights.
Yes, e-ticket nights.
We bought those tickets for $7.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Like, you would be, so what had happened was you were in the Magic Kingdom that day and you could go to City Hall and you could buy a ticket for $7. The park stayed open for 3 hours after closing, and it was called the e-ride nights or the e-ticket nights because they kept only the big stuff open. It was a precursor to extra magic hours.
Yeah.
But, oh my God. There was nobody in the parks those times. I mean, this was like in July. This was like in the early 2000s. You did whatever you, I always said you felt like Elvis because like you own the park. Like you just rode whatever you want as many times as you wanted for $7 for 3 hours. And it was incredible. And that is what I'm seeing the entire time the parks are open right now.
I know. It's awesome. So, I mean, there's really not even a need for extra magic hours at that point. You know, the whole day has so many opportunities to do things. If you're planning like a trip down, you can really get so much accomplished in just a few days doing that. And even though you're limited to one park per day, just go and focus and immerse yourself in that. You know, the anytime I've seen a little spike, like in a wait time, it absolutely ebbs down fairly quickly. So if there's any kind of wait time for something that you want to experience, just give it a little bit of time. It'll go down. Go do something else. But I love it. I love seeing that. And I think that's a great opportunity for people to do, to experience everything.
And what I'm seeing too is we have to rethink kind of our strategies and our our plans of attack. Because for one thing, I'm always somebody who wants to be there at rope drop, you know, right? You know, be there 45 to 30 minutes before the park opens, get ahead of the crowd. You know, and this is advice for somebody like me who's had an annual pass, done a lot of stuff a million times. Everything I do, I love, but I don't have to have it exactly on that certain day at that certain time. What I'm seeing is if I were to go down in the fall or even this late summer, I'm thinking about just sneaking down with Mallory because Mallory and I have never had a trip together, just us. And Pam's getting ready for school to start again. Paige will be heading back to Mizzou for sports probably here in the next couple weeks. This will be an opportunity for Mallory and I to do. We've always wanted to do this. I've just put it off. And right now we both have annual passes. Again, plane tickets where I could get them for $20 round trip because of frequent flyer miles. Like, it's just all working out. But the thing is, I'm always a rope drop person, but what I'm seeing is, like, I'm trying to strategically think about things. The folks who are getting there, say, an hour after park opening, 90 minutes after park opening, they're just breezing through the entire process and going in. Now, of course, you're not ahead of the crowd, but with smaller crowds, do I necessarily, like, what's my, you know, return on investment? Am I getting enough out of fighting the crowds right at park opening, or can I get there 90 minutes late, breeze in? Not maybe see one or two, probably one or two less attractions the day that I'm there. But is that trade-off worth it? And I say yes.
I think so too. And I think I've seen people that have decided to sleep in or hang out at the resort in the morning and not go till the afternoon. And even with the closing being maybe a little earlier than typical, there's people who are by the afternoon going to be done with that park for the day, right? Because really, they've experienced just about everything they've wanted to do, if not everything. So there's opportunities, I think, there, too, for people to come in the afternoon and take advantage of that, really experience it, get a lot of things done in that part, too. So I agree. I think there's a few different strategies that could absolutely work in the parks right now.
Well, too, and the thing is, you know, I think Disney's doing a really good job with keeping people safe. Now, I'll be honest, the one thing that just... If it was just like if I could get into like an Elon Musk kind of bullet tunnel, you know, and just and pop out at Pop Century, that'd be great. The whole thing is I would have to go to my airport and because I'm not going to drive. I've thought about it. My back is tore up. I don't think I can do the drive anymore. I could. It's not something I want to do.
Just get, like, I would schedule the first nonstop flight out of the morning.
Oh, yeah. Because we are living in such a weird universe because here's the thing. I see because we walk around our lake every night. And, you know, I'm with, you know, we walk the dog and Paige and Pam and Mallory and all of us. And, like, we see the Southwest Plains. We're not that far. We're really close to the airport, our old house. We're about 20 miles from the airport now. But we do see, like, the planes that are coming in from the east. They have to do kind of a loop to turn to hit the runway the right way if the wind's blowing the right way. And so we see the Southwest, our big carrier. So we see them making that big turn to land at the airport. And I'm always like, God, I miss being on an airplane. Like, who would have thought? Like, I want to be up there because I love seeing the world from that perspective. I love the excitement of, like, when you're on an airplane, for me, I'm going somewhere fun. I'm either going to run a race. I'm either going to, you know, some kind of media thing we've been able to do down at Walt Disney World, vacation. I mean, honestly, the only airport I've ever flown into is Orlando International. I've never flown anywhere else. So, you know, for me, it's like it's playtime. If I'm on an airplane, rock on. Here we go. So the only thing I'm worried about is just the whole, like, passing through an airport. But here's the thing. And I try, and again, this is not political at all. But, you know, if flying was something that was so perilous, and I'm not saying that there aren't opportunities to get sick, but here's what I'm comparing it to: my everyday life. We talked about this before we started recording the show. I went to get my license plates renewed, and I stood in a place for 2 hours with people, some with masks, some with not. Like, is that more of a life-threatening situation, getting my license plates renewed, than going to Walt Disney World? Because everybody's going to be masked up, you know, on the airplanes, at the airport, you have to wear a mask, you know, both in St. Louis and Orlando. I just think that there are things that could be more dangerous and sure a whole lot less fun than going to Walt Disney World right now. That's a whole balancing act. Like, was I in more danger doing something I had to do to drive my vehicle in Missouri than to go on vacation? I don't know. I think that, you know, I'm trying to, and I'm smart. I have a master's degree. I'm trying to, you know, because I would never want to put my kid in danger. I don't want to put myself in danger, because if I do, I'm putting my family in, you know, with this whole thing, it's even if I'm asymptomatic, I don't want to expose my family. Mm-hmm. It's that balancing act. But I think everybody's got a different comfort level, but I'm getting close to where I think I'm comfortable with what everything's happening. I don't know, though. Tough call.
Yeah, I know. It's always risk versus reward, right? I mean, look, my trip to the grocery store is really not adding a ton to my life. I mean, of course, we absolutely need to have food to survive, blah, 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 right? But there are other ways I could get it. But at the end of my life, I'm not going to look back on my trips to the grocery store and be like, oh, I'm really glad I went there and got that cucumber.
Exactly. Because Paige does Instacart. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm living with Paige. She goes and shops for people at all the grocery stores. But the thing is, I mean, she works for a university sports program. She works for the University of Missouri college basketball team, women's college basketball. And she's paid by them as a grad assistant. Not a whole lot, by the way, but she is, and it's a great opportunity for her. But the thing is, like, she's got to earn money. She's got a car payment. She has to pay insurance. You know, we're trying to help her as much as we can. But I mean, obviously, my job isn't bringing in the income that it was 6 months ago. So, you know, am I nervous? Like, she goes out and she goes into grocery stores 3-4 times a day, drops stuff off on people's front porches, but she's careful. She's smart. She does. Trust me, she has the Purell in the car. She's got the masks. You know, she's doing everything we can. But I mean, it's one of those things, like, eventually we have to do everything we can. But I also don't want my daughter, who's 12, to miss out. And this sounds so stupid because, like, a lot of our swimming pools are closed here. But I would love for Mallory to get to go swimming this summer. And I feel like at Pop Century, we could go to the pool at night. If the park closes at 7, we could jump in the pool and, you know, kind of have some semblance of a normal summer for a few hours. And I hope I don't feel like I'm sounding selfish, because I'm not.
I don't think, and I think it's unfair. I think really that qualification that people put it on, that if you're making a decision other than the decision that I'm comfortable with, then you're somehow being selfish. Because I will say, we have quarantined the heck out of ourselves and limited our exposure to that point. It just really, you know, we just really have. So my going out is not putting anyone in danger, because I don't have COVID. I've not been exposed to anyone that has it. And we have been practicing socially distant measures, the masks, all of it. We have done all of it and more. But I've also learned throughout this process of being quarantined the past 3 or 4 months, that it seems never ending really at this point, is that there are things that added so much positive to my life that I've missed. And I feel that, like, emotionally, I missed it to the point where it has impacted my life in a very negative way. I'm so fortunate that I love being with my family. I love having those opportunities, but my whole family has missed that. And we've missed out on these opportunities that just haven't been there for us. And I really at some point made, in my mind, what I felt was a decision that for me, these are the things that are important. And I wouldn't want to live the rest of my life not being able to experience these things. These things bring a lot of meaning to my life. It's not just a vacation. It's much more meaningful than that. And again, this is just my decision.
And I've said this from the get-go, don't give grace either way. Some people want to do this, and they could be making the wrong decision. But even as a parent, you start to learn that your kids, and I'm not saying I'm the parent of everybody at all, and I'm just saying this is what you learn as a parent, is that your kids are going to screw up. And sometimes you can see it coming from 100 miles away because you did the same thing when you were a kid. And the thing is, I can't parent everybody. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my family. I can do all the research. I can do what I'm comfortable with. And I think by doing the show for the last 12 and a half years, that I would never want to put anybody in danger. But I want to also kind of balance that, I want to live life. I'm very much a person who wants to have experiences. I started flying again because I didn't want my kids to not fly. That was kind of what it became. My back was bothering me a lot. But also, I didn't want Mallory to grow up scared to fly and never get to go to places like Europe or, anywhere in the world where it's really only accessible by flying. Hawaii, same for Paige. It wasn't fair. She hung in there and drove all these times with me to Florida, and she wanted to fly. She was always like, "Dad, could we fly?" And she never really got mad or anything. Pam, my wife, was a saint. We flew down on our honeymoon, and I was too scared to fly home. We rented a car in Miami. In the airport, I sprung it on her. She's an angel. It is a weird time, but the thing is, we're living in a time of social media. We're seeing, I'm talking to people in real time. I'm getting reports. And for the most part, there's people flying right now all over the country. You would think that it's not happening. And if it were so dangerous, this is just my take. Again, don't flame me, please. This is just and I'm trying to come to terms with making a correct decision for me, for my family. But if flying was so perilous that you really can't do it, there would not be all these airplanes going here and there and everywhere. I think you got to take a lot of precautions. I think the airlines know that if you don't do this, they're going to go out of business. There's a whole lot of things that if they don't get it right, nobody's going to fly. And if nobody flies, everybody's out of business. So I think they're taking the safety to the highest level. And I think if you're very, very careful, nothing's guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed. Agreed. But that's the thing is, I'm comfortable with, right now, I'm getting more comfortable with what I have to do and the risks. There are risks and there are some that I'm willing to take.
To everything that you do, though, it's so funny because in looking at all this, one of the stats that constantly is in my mind is we're looking at all these different stats and we're all on data overload and you don't know what data to even trust at this point, right? But even comparing all of the data and looking at it, it's like, any lives lost unnecessarily is too many.
It's a tragedy. It's 100%.
And it is. It is tragic. And the other thing that always comes into my mind is we see all of this and the anxiety it's causing in people when they look at these numbers and whatnot. But we don't share the same kind of anxiety over the number of people that die from, for instance, a car accident. We all willingly get in the car almost every day. Well, maybe not as much the past 3 to 4 months.
I tell you what, now I'm driving everywhere because I got $1,100 brakes on my Jeep and I waited 2 hours to get my plates. Dude, I'm driving just to drive. I'm just enjoying life in that Jeep right now.
But I mean, it's interesting to me. I always think that's really interesting because go ahead, Google the stats on motor car deaths. I mean, it's, it's a huge number of people that are impacted by these every year. So I think I just mentioned that to put things in perspective, that there are every day, there are some risks that we willingly take on to do some of the things that we want to do. And again, that's something that people are going to have to find their own comfort level with. It is, regardless of what it is. You know, I mean, you can tell me all day long that bungee jumping is completely safe. Yeah, and there's relatively, same. Right? And I'm like, I'm good.
You're not wrapping that sucker around my ankles. I'm telling you, I know I'm not going to die, but you know what? I'm going to crap my pants. So I'm not doing it.
My risk versus reward on that one, not so good for me. But in other way, you know, so everyone has to find their own comfort. And I respect that. I completely, completely do. I want everyone to feel comfortable doing something that they want to do. And I think that, you know, we're seeing a lot of people that feel comfortable with this, but some people don't. And I get that. I totally do. But yeah. For me, the risk versus reward, it's always, that's how everything is.
It is. I mean, it is. I mean, that's what got me to flying, you know, because I am very much, I taught science. I believe in science. I mean, you know, like the thing is, but you know, it's hard because everybody's got, you know, if you just, and this is why you can't just get your news on social media, is because everybody's got an agenda. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people have an agenda on how they slant the story. You know, like you can have the same story and it can go either way. Like, I mean, you could tell them like, this is why my argument, this is why the story backs up my argument, backs up the opposite side.
The if same you look at it data. There, people use the same data to represent both points. I'm just like, oi.
How can this be happening? It does wear you out, you know, because you try. I mean, because I think everybody wants to be safe, but everybody also wants to, you know, it's hard. It's really hard for us. And by us, I mean, everybody listening to a Disney podcast who over the past decade, you know, we get into our patterns. We go to run Disney races. We go down in the summer or we go to, you know, you have a tradition with your significant other that you go to the Food and Wine Festival, you know, and really enjoy that every fall. And it's while we do have to, you know, we have to sacrifice. I mean, we're all sacrificing. We're giving up, you know, we're wearing masks. We're social distancing. We've gone months and months without going to our favorite restaurants and stuff like that. And I think that there just has to be a time where you have to assess yourself. And the whole thing is, and again, I'm off my soapbox, but everybody's just going to be at a different place on this one. You know, if you look at a continuum, we're not all going to fall in the same place on that continuum. But I think the thing is, at least for me, and I can only speak for me, and I get really nervous because we have a voice. We have a podcast. I have, you know, somewhat of a following on social media. Not a big one, but I have enough. And the thing is, I want to be responsible. I don't want anybody to come after me and say that I'm being selfish because I'm contemplating taking my daughter down. You know, and I know that's going to happen if I do go down, that there's going to be people like, oh, you're you know, you shouldn't do that, you know, and my comfort level is getting closer. And I, you know, it's sad that I'm feeling guilty for that I'm getting closer to being able to travel. And it's making me feel a little guilty.
No, our overreaching message has always been that there are different people are going to feel differently. And it's not important that we all feel the same. It is important that we can carry on a discussion and disagree with each other in a way that doesn't vilify the other point of view or doesn't make assumptions about the other person based on their feelings, right? And you know, right now as a society, that sort of seems like one of our biggest things, that I get to make all these assumptions about you because of this, right? When it, you know, may not even be true. And we just need to extend a little grace and respect. And as much as we want to have to the other person and their points of view. And I think if we do that, then we're really moving towards something that, you know, will be better. We'll be a better world to live in. I really, truly, truly believe that. I've read so many articles that talk about, you know, that we don't need to disagree less. We just need to disagree better. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just such wise words in this space. The difference is what makes this world interesting.
Absolutely. Because remember, I taught sixth grade for 17 years. And the thing was, you know, I taught science and social studies and reading and math and all that stuff. But I always, always thought the most important thing I taught my kids was just how to survive in the world, how to get along with each other, how to learn from each other. Because again, you know, I taught in a very diverse, you know, situation. I was in Ferguson during the riots, you know, so we had hard discussions where we had to kind of see where we all came from. And I truly believe that throughout that, we came out on the other side as through hard discussions, better people, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you don't, you know, until you have a conversation. And the thing is, like, I admit, I'm not a person who knows anything about viruses. I mean, I feel like everybody feels like they're a virologist, you know, at this point, because especially, you know, because I love social media. I love social media because I love, like, following meteorologists. I love weather. I love Disney. I love space, you know, and that's why I'm on social media. But you know what? If you're on social media at all, you're getting all the other stuff injected. True. And the whole thing is, this show totally went off the rails, but I think it was a good therapy session, and it was a therapy session, and it was a fun discussion, you know, not a fun discussion, but I think it's an important discussion that everybody's kind of having right now. Even if it's not out loud, you're probably having it internally. You know, I haven't seen Inside Out, but I feel like we're living a version of Inside Out, because, like, you know, 5 minutes, like, I'm ready to book that trip. And then, you know, on my other shoulder, 5 minutes later, I'm like, you know, should I, you know, I just don't think anybody can be 100% comfortable right now, but I think you just have to make the best decision for you and your family.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all you can do, and that's all anyone can ask of you. And, you know, that's what we're doing. We're all doing the best we can, and I think what I'm going to assume is that everyone else is doing the best they can, unless there's something. You have to assume that they're coming from a good spot. A good place.
Unless you're going there being stupid. The whole thing, and I hate to use the word stupid, but you can't be stupid. Like you said at the top of the show, you can't go there if you're sick. You know,
right.
You know, there were days, I mean, we've seen people try to power through because, and I see this in the running, and then not putting down runners, because trust me, I run and I love the Run Disney races. But I mean, you know, there were people, and I'd seen them, and there'd been times where I had actually gone to race weekends where I wasn't feeling my best. But I mean, the whole thing was I had trained for 6 months, you know, like, I know that if I take an Advil, you know, or take an Excedrin migraine, I can shake that migraine headache and I can make it through the race weekend, get my medals. Now's not the time for that kind of, heroic action. This is where you do have to go back and care about your fellow people. You know, you have to. I mean, if you're sick, you just got to, you got to suck it up and just say, you know what? I can't do it. It's not worth it.
I agree. And I one of the things, and I was talking with my husband about this the other day, that I feel like maybe the CDC and World Health Organization has really failed in this spot, is to have more of a campaign about the symptoms, about what that is leading up to it. They haven't done a good enough job, I feel like, with that. We all know coughing and sneezing, not good, but give us more direction on what that looks like as we move forward. Like, at what point, besides those major symptoms, what else are we looking for? Help us find a better path to work with employees, employers, in terms of sick leave or what's appropriate to work from home or all of this stuff. And hopefully then we'll be able to sort of change our feelings about when I'm not feeling well, whether or not I'm going to go to work, go to the grocery store, go on vacation, XYZ, all of these different things. So hopefully there will be opportunities for that as we move forward. But you know, we all are on information overload.
I know. Because I mean, for so long we were stuck inside. I mean, that's all we did was sit there because you couldn't go to the movies, you couldn't go to Disney, you couldn't do anything. So what were we doing? There's a new term. I don't know if you've heard it, doom scrolling, like on Instagram and Twitter. Like, you just can't put it down. You know, and it's exactly information overload, and it's not good. So
it is. But here's some information overload I will give you. So as Mike and I were talking about this podcast, and by the way, this is not any of what we were talking about.
No,
today.
This is totally, I mean, we were going to talk about plexiglass and the characters buzzing by. I mean, stuff like that is exactly what we were planning to talk about the whole time.
I know, right? It was sort of like a expulsion of venting and emotional.
Which has happened a lot in 12 years of the show. We do this from time to time.
But I did look up some dates. I looked in early August, the 9th through the 13th were dates that I sort of picked. And right now, Pop Century, under $200. I mean, $176 per night. If you happen to have an AP, $123 per night. Yeah. $123 per night. A four-night stay at Caribbean Beach, about $1,100. So, I mean, there are some deals out there to be had in terms of, you know, some Disney trips. If it's something that you're considering, take advantage of that. You know, we always, you know, there are that little saying about like, you know, miss 100% of the opportunities you don't take. You know what I mean? I feel like there are some opportunities for those who do want to travel and do feel safe doing it. So reach out to us and we'll help you find those.
That's so it. I mean, I looked, you know, for late July is what I was looking at. And from like a Tuesday to a Saturday, you know, checking in Tuesday, out on a Saturday. Because again, you know, I got to watch my expenses big time. But the thing is, I have all these frequent flyer miles that are going to expire. So I can fly down and fly back, two of us for free, $22, Southwest Airlines, nonstop both ways, from a Tuesday to a Saturday, because those are the good days to fly. That's where you get the most bang for your buck on your flyer miles. Right. So $22, like, and I don't want to lose that. And then if I stay at Pop Century, which is your lowest value, you know, you can't stay at an All-Star right now. So Pop Century is your cheapest, but I do have an annual pass. So does Mallory. So our tickets are set. We wouldn't have to pay anything for tickets. Annual pass discount, it's like $620 from a Tuesday to a Saturday at Pop Century. So you're paying $600 for your hotel. That's it. And then we could eat counter service stuff. You know, like, you know, we don't have to, you know, we're not with the whole family. Like, we don't have to go to, you know, Mallory wouldn't eat at Tiffin's or, you know, Le Cellier. Like, I mean, I'm fine with eating corn dog nuggets at Casey's. You know, like, I don't need fancy food. So we could be in and out of, and the thing is, you got to think about this. From that Tuesday to the Saturday, if we're sitting at home, we're still eating. I mean, we're still probably going to go get the Cyborgs wrap, which I know Disney food's probably twice as expensive, but I mean, you're at Disney World, you know, I mean, you gotta live life.
It's magical though.
It is. So, I mean, because the whole thing is, like, I wouldn't mind just eating, you know, snacking and just eating counter service burgers. I'm fine with that for 4 or 5 nights. If it means I can ride rides and be with my daughter, you know, and get to swim and stuff like that. So yeah, Rachel says, sounds like I have it planned already. I really don't. I haven't made any commitments to this, but I'm talking it through. Oh, Casey's isn't open. I was just using Casey's off the bat, you know, or what? Mallory wants to go to Columbia Harbor House. She keeps talking about it constantly, so she's making me starve.
What does she get there?
She gets chicken nuggets. What else does she get? Fries?
That's what I was like. I was just wondering.
What else do they? I'm like, what else?
What about these things? Yeah, you know where you can visit, nuggets. Though? You can visit my Geyser Point.
For real.
And it's counter service.
I know. Trust me, they have a good chicken sandwich I've been craving. So anyway, this show is so long. I apologize. But I mean, I think we needed to have the discussion. We're just trying to throw it out there because I truly believe, and I'm not just saying this, because we've had this show for so long and that we get to record it live with feedback as we record, and then we hear about it as it releases on the day, is that we are really kind of all a big family in this whole thing. We've spent time in the park with so many listeners. We've cruised with so many listeners. We've hung out outside the parks with so many listeners at events in St. Louis and Indianapolis and Pittsburgh and all over the place. And we are a family. And the thing is, what do you do with a family? You bounce ideas off each other. And, you know, if people came back and said 100%, that's a terrible idea, I would respect that. If people come back and say, go for it, I respect that. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. But I like that we have this opportunity to kind of get together and just kind of hash this out, because I bet you more than one or two people listening right now on their runs or cutting the grass or doing the dishes or hanging out at their house in the hammock over the weekend, I bet you other people are having the same conversation internally too.
Oh, I'm sure. Are you kidding me? Like, as soon as those parks open, you know, there's a percentage of people who are like, okay, when can I get there? How can I make this happen? So, you know, it's travel is so much more than just the vacation aspect of it. I mean, there's really such emotionality tied to it. So, you know that people are starting to talk about it. I love that people know you, though, that you've got your trip planned already.
Oh, yeah. Well, what can you do?
In your mind.
I know. If nothing else, it's giving me that. You know, it's giving me, there's something to be said for hope. Even if I don't take the trip, at least I've been having fun in my mind thinking about what it would be like. And I feel like Mallory deserves it, but we'll see.
Half the fun is dreaming about it.
It is, 100%. It'll happen. Maybe just not this summer, but maybe the fall. Right. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Well, we're going to get out of here and bonus show, long show, but we're here. So don't
like
forget
a show and a half.
When it comes time to get that next trip. And again, you know, there's never any pressure. Like, seriously, everybody's going to be comfortable at different times. We got 2021. We can start planning those. Thank goodness we can get that planned. If you want to wait and push it way down the line, we can do that. So just drop by themagicforless.com. One of our great sponsors, Platinum Earmarked Agency. They've been doing this forever. They get great reviews from their guests. They book trips every day. You know, I'll tell you, I book trips every day, all day. I modify trips. I add on tickets. I change tickets. You know, There's really not a whole lot that we haven't seen and that we can not offer great advice for our guests and put them in the best situation possible. That's the whole thing, is when you book with a travel agent, a lot of people ask, you know, I'm an Uber Disney fan. Why work with the travel agent? One, it's free. It doesn't cost you a dime extra. You get little special things, gift cards and so forth with some packages. But most importantly, you have like a second set of eyes and you have somebody there helping you along the way, just to kind of dot the I's, cross the T's, to make sure everything's squared away and to bounce ideas off of, you know, to shoot me an email. You're sitting there watching Mallory and Pam have been watching Grey's Anatomy on Netflix. Something comes up, shoot me an email. Hey, what do you think about this? You have somebody to talk to about it. And you know what? We can come to a great solution. So just, you know, and again, support a small business in this time. It really does help us out. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out the quote form and mention the Be Our Guest podcast. And we'll be planning a great Disney trip whenever that is. Also, don't forget to use our Amazon affiliate link, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. That really helps. And become a patron of the show for a little extra content. We have a good time over there. We had a poll today, Pam. Let me ask you real quick. You got to pick. Disney gives you a free 5-night trip.
Okay.
You get to pick between these four resorts: the Riviera, Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, or the Contemporary. I know it's a tough call because I just kind of threw them in there because all of them have a plus. I was trying to see which one you'd pick. What'd you pick?
Golly. And this is something that, oh gosh, can change by the minute for
That's
me.
How it was the only
truly,
me too.
Truly. You know what? I'm feeling Wilderness Lodge right now.
Really? See, that came in
fourth place. I am. There is something about that place. As soon as I walk into the lobby, I am relaxed. Like, really, really relaxed. I love so many things about it. That I think that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I picked the Riv because I just haven't stayed there.
It's beautiful. Skyliner. Yeah, I've stayed there a few times and I love it. So
it looks gorgeous.
It's awesome.
I mean, you know, yeah, I picked the Riv. Three reasons: beautiful, haven't stayed there, and Skyliner and the burger, the Riviera burger.
The Skyliner is the game changer, I will say. It truly, I mean, it truly is. It is the game changer. And the fact that you can socially distance.
Yeah.
Easily and do
exactly.
This. I love it.
Yes. Disney knew something. They built the perfect transportation pods for social distancing
did, right?
A year before it needed.
So you're in case you could bring your can of Lysol and spray it all down as you're walking in.
Purell deodorant. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. No, that's so we do kind of stuff like that over on Patreon. It's all fun. We post pictures. Today, we have the mini podcast, Mike in the Midwest. Talked about when I worked at Space Camp, put some pictures from when I worked with some great teachers, Grace Corrigan, Krista McAuliffe's mom, getting to meet her and stuff like that. So it's just a little way to support the show while travel is a little bit slow right now, but we appreciate it over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget social media, Instagram and Twitter, @BeOurGuestMike, @BeOurGuestPod, and facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Oh my gosh, we're almost at an hour. We're getting out of here. You guys, hang out on the hammock. Don't cut the grass yet. You'll have to probably on Sunday, but enjoy a little part of the weekend. And thanks for taking us along. We sure appreciate it. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.